independence, which proclaimed their independence of the United States of America from Great Britain and its king. That was about 440 some odd days after the first shots of the American Revolution were shot in Lexington and Concord, Massachusetts, what you and I know as the Revolutionary War. The final triumph, the final victory for the War of Independence was in 1781, and that was at Yorktown, a great victory at Yorktown. Then it wasn't until 1783 that the Treaty of Paris was made with Britain, and the United States was officially recognized by Britain as free and an independent nation. The title of my message this morning is What Has Happened to America? What has happened to America? The pilgrims who left England and Europe, when they left their homeland, they specifically left their homeland for the purpose of seeking freedom that was necessary to worship God. It was all about the Lord. We have had a history in America of great, great preachers preaching our land. We have been a land that has been blessed richly by the God of heaven. There have been multitudes saved. There have been revivals in parts of our land in the history of the United States. Many churches have been started. The missionary movement has been great through the United States of America. No telling how many souls were saved because the missionaries sent and missionaries supported by the United States of America. America, under the preaching of men like Billy Sunday and Mordecai Ham, back in the teens, they voted in prohibition. Prohibition was outlawing liquor. What a great, great step of an American Christian country to say no to the devil's liquor and yes to God. But as you know, unfortunately, America in 1930 voted God out and voted liquor back in. What has happened to America? What is going on today? You know, you read your Bible and Egypt is always a type of the world in the Word of God. The children of Israel, we know that it's a literal nation, the literal children of God, but we can type New Testament preaching as Israel is a type of the church in the Old Testament. And here it is, you and I, we were lost and we were without God. We were the bond slaves of Egypt. We were serving the world. We were serving the devil with rigor. What he did is he put us out into the fields and he lied to us and he deceived us. He told us how much fun sin was, and sin is no fun at all. Hey, the wages of sin is death. You may tickle your flesh for a very short time with sin, but sin will damn you to hell. Sin will take your health. It'll take your mind. It'll ruin your life this side of heaven. There's nothing good about sin. Pharaoh, a type of the devil, he said, let's just make them serve with more rigor. They mock us because we go to church a few times a week. They mock us because we serve the Lord. Well, who are they serving? Huh? I mean, they're running here, running there, putting their money here, putting their money there for what? For the slavery of Egypt. Buddy, God in heaven heard the cry of the Jews, the Bible says. And they sought deliverance. So you know what the Lord did? He raised up a man. Y'all say amen right there. He didn't raise up an organization, he raised up a man. That man was Moses, and he said, you go in there and you tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Say amen right there. I was reading a story about this man who visited a church. He was an older man, and he visited his church. It was the first time he ever visited, and he sat in the front row. And the preacher started preaching, and buddy, he got to preaching, and an hour went by. An hour and 15 minutes went by. An hour and a half went by. And so finally that preacher, that visitor, that old man, he said, preach on, Pharaoh, preach on. So an hour and 40 minutes went by and he said, preach on, Pharaoh, preach on. And the preacher's just looking at him, preach on, Pharaoh. He said, So finally he looks at the old man, he says, what are you talking about, preach on Pharaoh? He says, you're just like Pharaoh. You won't let God's people go either. I'm not going to do that to y'all today. Amen. And so listen to me, the children of Israel cried out, and the God of heaven heard, and raised up a man, and he sent them there to lead them out. And he said to him, Moses said to him, he said, Lord, he said, you know, I'm a nobody. He says, you tell them that I am sent you to deliver them. And you know the story. Listen to me, if you're here lost and you're without God, and I don't care if you've prayed a prayer, I don't care if you're a church member, but if you don't have peace down in your heart, you're not saved by the grace of God. And I'm telling you what, the devil's not going to let you go without a fight. Pharaoh would not let the children of Israel go. You heard Pastor Matt when he was leading songs say that he was a 13-year-old kid and the Holy Ghost convicted him. Look up here. If there's no conviction in your heart, you can't even get saved. That Bible says, except the Father draw you, you can't come to Him. Hey, I'm telling you, we got all these people praying prayers and thinking that they're saved and going out, and there's no change in their life. There's no peace in their heart. There's no direction in their life. It's because they never got saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, you ever get God moving into your heart, your life will never be the same. Hey, you didn't just turn over a new leaf. When you got saved, you got God's nature put in you. The Holy Ghost moved in. He sealed you until the day of redemption. And He moved in to take over. Say amen right there. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your soul, in your spirit. Hey, listen to me. If you're saved, you've been bought with the blood of Jesus. If you're saved, you are not your own. You have no right to call the shots in your life. You have no right to do what you want to do. Every right you have is to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Submit yourself to Him and let Him lead you to the promised land. Amen. I tell you what you'll do, you make your own decisions, you'll wander in the wilderness.
Amen.
Have an unfulfilled life, no blessings, the will of God not fulfilled in your life. So you know the story as well as I do. Pharaoh said, who's God? Sounds like America, doesn't it? Who's God that I should obey Him? I ain't going to let you go. And so you know the 10 plagues, you know the rivers and waters turned to blood and the lice and the frogs and all that kind of business. Are you all with me? And then you get down there to about the 7th or 8th plague. And Pharaoh goes, well, I'll tell you what, Moses, you just take the men out there. And Moses said, no. He said, we're taking the women. We're taking the children. You know what the devil will try to do? Get you to compromise. Y'all with me? He said, no. And then he says, well, you know, you can go out there, but don't take all your flocks and don't take all your gain. He said, no. If we're going to go out there, we're going to sacrifice to the Lord. And we need something that we can sacrifice. No, it's going to be everything or it's going to be nothing. And that's what we got, a bunch of compromising going on in God's churches today. They think that they can have 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the service of the Lord. And that's just not going to work. Hey, I'll tell you what, God, it's only our reasonable service that we sacrifice our lives for Him. Y'all with me? So they got down there and Pharaoh finally got sick and tired of it. I mean, God finally got sick and tired of Pharaoh's. So He said, we're going to have a Passover. And He says, I want every home to take a lamb. In fact, if you would, turn with me to chapter 12 in Exodus. That's a very brief synopsis of all those verses, by the way. Very brief. Because this is just my introduction. I want to get to my message here. Get you out of here before you lose 15 pounds. I am in Exodus chapter 12. Let's pick up in verse number 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man, what's that next 2 words? A lamb. According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for, what's the next 2 words? The lamb. First it was a lamb. Now it's the lamb. Let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Verse 5, what's the first 2 words? Your lamb. Hallelujah! John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away." He's not just a lamb. He's not just the lamb. He's my lamb. The Lamb of God who saved me because he shed his blood on Calvary and rose again the third day for the glory of God. Can you say amen right there, Lydia? Amen? Buddy, you listen to me. I got saved 42 years ago, 22 years old, on my way to hell, and I have not gotten over it yet. Amen. I don't want to get over it. Y'all with me? It's my lamb. Your lamb, he said, shall be without blemish. A male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And then he goes on down there and he says in verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat. And then slide down there in verse 13. And the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not, upon you. I'm sorry. I'm out of. And I'm working out too, people. And I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. What a blessed, blessed Memorial Day. A day of independence in the nation of Israel's history. They had been in that bondage. They had been serving with rigor. There had been no joy. There had been no blessings. There had been no fellowship with God. And I mean the Lamb of God. I mean, he sent the man of God down there to lead them. And you know the story. He leads them out of Egypt. They spoil Egypt. They go through the Red Sea on dry land. And God's will is for them to get to the promised land. Now, you know those guys doubted. They had the grasshopper mentality. But God's will was for them to get to the promised land. And this is what I'm telling you today. You young people, listen to me. You old people, listen to me. Ye must be born again. It is not enough to go to the house of God. It is not enough to obey. It is not enough. You must be born again. And right now, while I'm preaching, if you're not saved, the Holy Ghost will convict you of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. You deserve to go to hell. I don't deserve to go to hell. You can't even be saved. Jesus said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." If I could find me some sinners, I'd have good news for them. The gospel is good news. Jesus died for the sins of the world. He did not die for the elect. I don't know. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how educated you are. Don't care the color of your skin. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for you. The sins of the world were put on Jesus Christ. My daddy was a Roman Catholic. He would not repent. He would not get saved. He died at 57 of a massive coronary. My dad died and went to hell because he didn't know Jesus as the Savior. But my dad being in hell, his sins were paid for at Calvary. He could have received by faith the free gift of eternal life. And I'm telling you, if I could kick the lid off of hell today, my daddy would shout from the depths of hell and say, "Listen to my son! Don't come to this terrible place. You need to be saved. Listen to the gospel." That's the message my lost daddy would send you today. This thing about just praying a prayer. You don't get saved by praying a prayer. You get saved by repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if any man be saved, he's a new creature. Old things are past. You don't keep living in sin. You don't keep living in wickedness. You don't keep following after the devil. You follow after the Lord God of glory. That's what Independence Day means for me. Buddy, I was shackled by sin. I was a slave of the devil. Buddy, I woke up in the morning. There's things I had to do and things I had to take. The devil just cracked his whip over me, laughing at me. Laughing. Buddy, I got saved by the grace of God. Hey, he set me free that I could live for Jesus Christ. He set me free that I could serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He set me free that I wasn't bound by sin and bound by the course of this world. I'm not in the course of this world, amen? Buddy, that old... That old picture that man painted about that multitude just going off into hell and that little remnant finding the narrow way on the cross, getting off into heaven. I thank God that I'm part of that narrow way. Thank God I'm part of that select few that repented and trusted Jesus as Savior. Our great country has a great history. As I mentioned, America was not founded by people trying to get rich. It was founded by those pilgrims that wanted to worship God. And when they got off that boat, their first concern was the Indians and reaching them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were burdened to worship the Lord. I want you to go with me to the book of Romans chapter 1. And I want to preach you a little bit today on what has happened to America. And because what's happening is many of God's churches today are following America right down that worldly pathway. Amen. Buddy, I don't want to be part of that crowd. I want to be part of the remnant that is faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that we are not in the 1800s and the early 1900s. I understand the day and age in which we're living. But I'm telling you, that book does not change people. And I mean to tell you, God's music doesn't change. God's speech doesn't change. God's gospel doesn't change. God's definition of holiness does not change. No, He's steadfast. I'm in Romans 1. Look with me at verse 18. The Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are what? Without excuse." Listen to me. People say this, "Well, you know, what about these people that are in Africa, people on these islands, and they never hear the gospel?" Hey, listen, what's the Bible say? They're without excuse. And if you'll read your Bible, if you'll study the Word of God instead of sitting in front of an idiot box all the time, what you'll see is that all men have been offered degrees of enlightenment, the light of God. God will give some people light through nature, the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun and the seasons and all like that. Some He'll give enlightenment through their conscience. That is wrong. That is wrong. That's a sin against God. Others He'll give by Bible revelation, the preaching of the Word of God. And here it is. When God gives enlightenment, when God gives light, then what you do with that light determines if God gives you any more light. If you reject God's light, God is done giving you light until you act upon the light that He has given you. You're sitting here this morning and you want to know the deep, dark secrets of God and you're not even saved. God's not showing you nothing except that you're lost. You're without God. You're a sinner who deserves to go to hell. Now, may I say something? You're looking at a Baptist preacher that knows for sure he's going to heaven when he dies. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I deserve to go to hell. I'm not getting what I deserve. Because Jesus Christ took my sins. He shed His blood and rose again the third day. He offered me that free gift. And by faith, I accepted that free gift. Got born again March 20th, 1975. So He gave me the free gift of eternal life. I still deserve to go to hell. I'm just not getting what I deserve. Because Jesus paid the price for my redemption. If you're sitting there and you're saved, you know what you believe? You believe that you know you're going to heaven, but you deserve to go to hell. That's why we should have a burden and a compassion for a lost and dying world, because they are blinded by the devil. Do you remember what it was to be blinded? Buddy, I was blinded by religion. I was raised up in a religion. And I didn't know God. I didn't know about salvation. But thank God, God sent that man, Bob McNeil, across my path to tell me about the Lord Jesus Christ. We okay? You know what America has become? We're not a Christian nation anymore, folks. We've become a pagan, heathen nation. It's a tragedy. And you know what? I want to be salt. And I want to be light in this dark, dark generation that we're living in. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, we have become a dark, heathen, pagan nation. Spiritual darkness is a mark of paganism. Spiritual darkness. You know what America worships? She worships idols. She worships statues. She worships money. She worships houses and cars. She worships certain people. So-and-so is such a good person. No, they're not. They're sinners that need to be saved. America worships sports. We've become an idolatrous, pagan nation. We have ritualism. We have religious, but lost. We go through the rituals. We go through the cantations. But we're lost and without God. There's an ignorance concerning God. Listen to me. We could mention many sins. America's a drunken nation. Would you say amen to that? Now, she's not happy with being drunken. Now she wants to be a dopehead nation. And they're legalizing marijuana and all that kind of nonsense. Say amen right there. But I mean, hey, listen, all you got to do is read the Bible and know that that stuff is of the devil. Darkness! Every pagan, fallen generation, they had some kind of natural thing that buzzed their brains out and blew their brains out and didn't live for God. So America has become a drunken and a dope-headed nation. But not only that, they're ignorant concerning God. Isn't it amazing how whenever anything bad happens, they blame God? And whenever anything good happens, they want to put it on the politicians or something? It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. We have the preserved, inerrant Word of God. But you know what we don't have? People reading it. People listening to it being preached. This is Sunday morning. I know many of you aren't going to understand this. I'm 64 years old. I got born in 1953. When I was a child, growing up, I lived in Springfield, Delaware County, 341 Gleaves Road. Gleaves Road had split-level homes all the way up one side, all the way down another side, went around the block on both sides of the house, split-level. Just a little plot of ground in the front, a little plot of ground in the back, and a little bit on the sides. Are y'all with me? Sunday. You know what was open on Sunday when I was a kid growing up? Nothing. First of all, there's no malls. I'm born before the malls. I'm telling you, when the dinosaurs were walking the streets, I was walking the streets. There's no malls, but they had the department stores like Litt Brothers and you ever hear of that?
No.
You never heard of that. Well, they're out of business now anyway. But, you know, they had Strawbridge and Clothier. You ever hear of Strawbridge and Clothier? That was closed on Sunday. Ben, you ain't heard nothing. I mean, you're in a different generation, buddy. And so on Sundays, nothing was open. One or two gas stations would be open. And if a restaurant opened, it opened after 12 o'clock because they believed you ought to go to church Sunday morning. And you'd look out my door, and I'm telling you, on Sundays, all up and down that street, people would be getting in their cars, the girls would be in their dresses, boys would be in their coats and ties, and people would be going to church. Now listen, they weren't all going to the same church, and they weren't all going to Bible-believing church, but they went to church because Sunday was the Lord's Day in America.
Amen.
Now one family didn't go to church on my road. It was the Fisher family across the street. They didn't go to church on Sunday. They were Jewish. They went to the synagogue on Saturday, and they did. So what are you getting at? Here we have the Word of God. And instead of remembering the Lord's Day to keep it holy, people are out worshiping what? Their gods. When I was growing up, do you know how many activities children had, sports activities children had on Sundays? None, people. None. It didn't happen. You played on Saturdays. Sunday was the Lord's Day. Things were closed. You went to the house of God, and you spent family time together. Well, you know what? I wonder how many saved people aren't in church this morning.
Yeah.
I didn't say lost people.
Amen.
I said saved people.
Yeah.
I wonder how many saved people profess to know Jesus as their Savior. They don't even go to the house of God. And yet, we expect the heathen to believe what we have to say. When we live like the heathen, we chase after the things. We dress like the heathen. We talk like the... Are y'all with me? No, no, no. When you get saved, that book says, come out from among them and... Now, I'm living in an old people's community. 55 and older. You know how many people on my street went to church today? Two. You say, what are you getting at? What has happened to America is we've become a pagan, a dark, a heathen nation. I'm not going down that street. Spiritual darkness. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light. I'm not living in the darkness of this world. Y'all watch TV, you believe the news. You know what? You should have a lobotomy if you believe the news that America's putting out. Say amen right there. I mean to tell you, those liberals hate God. They hate our country. They hate you as a born-again child of God. They're lying to you through your teeth. Their teeth. Golly. I was working out the other day in that little exercise room, and a woman came in there, and she says, "You mind if I put the TV on?" And I said, "You know," I said, "I'm listening to the Bible, and that TV, that would just be a distraction to me." I said it real nice. I was real kind. And she said, "Okay." And so when I was getting ready to leave, I brought her over the clicker. I said, "I'm leaving now, so here you can turn." She goes, "Oh, I just don't know what I would do without my television." Sounds like a junkie to me. How are we doing here? That TV is just putting darkness out. It's not putting the truth of the Word of God. Let me say this. Spiritual darkness is a mark of paganism. Lawlessness. We're in Romans chapter 1. Lawlessness is a mark of paganism. Did you all read about that girl that got shot down on Route 100 and 202? That's a lawless society. What did she get shot over? 10 feet of highway. They're coming down. She was coming down Route 100, getting on to 202. When you come off of 100, it goes from two lanes to one lane to get on to 202. It's only a few hundred yards. It's one lane, but you got to merge. And this guy in a white, in a red pickup truck is jostling with this girl in this car. He pulls out a pistol and shoots her in the head and kills her. 18 years old. She just graduated high school. She was going to go to college down in Florida and shot her dead and took off. It's a lawless society. Do you know what we do? We work. We work hard. We work so we can pay our bills and we can put food on the table. Ladies who stay at home, they work hard and get up early and take care of their children. They work. You know what they do? They earn what they have. You know what a thief wants to do? He wants to take what you've earned and take it because he's too lazy and slothful and sorry to go to work. Amen? It's lawless. Huh? And we have a system in America, it's called entitlements.
Yeah.
You're entitled. You're entitled for the government to take money from Kevin and give it to you for nothing. For being lazy. Say amen there.
Right.
So why do you preach like that? Because the Bible says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat.
Yeah.
Huh? We got single ladies, we got single women in our church. They go out there, they work, they punch that clock, they do what they need to do. Why? Because they figure that's what God said.
Amen.
Go to work, say amen right there. Welfare. I mean, listen to me. If somebody's going to give you something for nothing, what are you going to do? Most people are going to say, give it to me. And then what are they going to say? Give me more, that's not enough. I'm entitled to more. That's greed. That's the old nature.
Yep.
Lawless society. I had a man in my church in Newport. He was a mailman. On a certain date every month, there was a certain flock of people that were waiting right by their mailboxes. This is back in the old days when they didn't give you the credit cards. They sent you a check. And I mean to tell you, if that guy did not have their government check, they got heated. Like it was his fault. All he's doing is delivering mail. And these people are screaming and cussing and threatening violence to his body. Why? Lawless. It's a pagan. And now we're blaming the cops. Anybody here ever a police officer? Do you know what you don't know? You don't know the threat a police officer lives under 5 days or 6 days a week, 8 or 10 hours a day. Say amen right there. But now America is blaming the law keepers and they're telling the law breakers that they're okay. There's nothing right about that. Do you hear me? Oh, that cop pulled me over. Yeah, idiot, you were speeding. Yeah, idiot, your taillights are out. Whatever it is, they're right, you're wrong. It should be yes, sir, no, sir, I'm sorry, sir.
Amen.
Say amen right there. We're not lawless. God says those people were put there against the lawless, and now the society is so lawless, it's turned things around. Why? Because we're pagan. Because we're heathen. Because we're living in a dark. I'm in Romans 1. Look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, that's America, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. They can't tell what's good or they can't tell what's right or wrong. They think it's okay for a man or woman to shack up. That's a reprobate mind. They think it's okay for a man to marry a man, a woman to marry a woman, call it a marriage. That's a reprobate mind. That's living in darkness. That's a pagan society. That's a heathen society. Don't y'all come to me saying, would you marry me and my boyfriend? Marry me and my girlfriend? Are y'all with me? We're such a lawless society. A Christian says no to a sodomite couple. I'm not making your wedding cake. And who's in trouble? The saved man for not heeding. Are y'all with me? You know, they want diversity. Did you ever notice that? They want diversity. Well, you know what? I want to ask these sodomite groups, how many straight people do you have on your committees?
Yeah.
Let's have a little diversity.
Yeah.
You know, in the schools, you know, you send your child to a heathen college, you better be ready for them to get a good dose of heathenism. Okay? And so the scholars, quote unquote, I'm not sure what a scholar is. Okay? Do you know who used to be recognized as scholars in America back in the revolutionary days? It's the preachers. Because the preachers read the Bible, studied the Bible, and delivered the message from the Bible. And the people wanted to know what God said. So they went down to the house of God to find out what the man of God had to say from the Word of God. Not anymore. Now we go to the scholars, whatever that is. Said, what's that? That's somebody that's been indoctrinated with the devil's doctrine. We okay? And so next time a scholar says we need diversity, ask him how many teachers they have in their college that are conservatives. No. Most of them are what? They're rank liberal. But he wants diversity. Now what he wants you to do is compromise. Because he's not going to. Well, I'm not compromising. It's a lawless society. And then may I say this, indulgence in animal appetites is a mark of paganism. I said indulgence of animal appetites is a mark of paganism. We're in Romans 1. Look at verse 24 with me. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Sounds like sodomy to me. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. And worshipped and served the what? Creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And so, what do you watch on TV? You watch sodomite men and sodomite women put out their sodomite propaganda, and that is influencing the generations of America.
Amen. Amen.
Sodomites, in the eyes of God, according to the Word of God, are an abomination to God. There's nothing acceptable. It is not an alternate lifestyle. It's an abominable lifestyle. It's wickedness. It's sin. It's darkness. It's demonism. Look at Ephesians with me, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 19. Indulgence in animal appetites is a mark of paganism. We're living in a perverted, lustful society. Guys, a few years ago, I read a Baptist preacher, and he said that there was over 3 million porn sites on the internet. That was several years ago. Porn, look up here, okay? All of you, oh, you are going to be tempted. You have probably already messed around, or maybe accidentally, if it was accidentally, seen pornography on the internet somehow, on some device, some computer, something. I want to tell you something. That is paganism. I am telling you something that will affect your thinking, that will affect your heart. Okay? And you've got all these millions of pornographic sites. You used to have to go to a dirty bookstore to get that filth. Now you can bring it up on a phone, on an iPad, on an iPod, on a computer. You can sneak off into a dark place and watch that filth. I'm telling you, it's wicked as hell. And it's not just boys that are messing with porn. It's women and young women that are messing with it too. You parents, if you have any sense at all, you will have some kind of guard on every device. You will check your kids' history. You will keep in. You said, you don't trust your child. I wouldn't trust them as far as I could chuck this building. Amen. Said, why? Because they got your nature, my nature. Say amen right there. Amen. Craziness. I've had preachers that have church websites, and they get on that website, and on their website pops up pornography. On a church website. Look at me. That's what your flesh wants. Don't tell me I'm not going to be influenced by that. Look at me. We are all flesh and blood. If you cannot responsibly handle a device, then you shouldn't have a device. Brother Travis Altop preached for us. Travis has a flip phone. Travis does not have a internet connection at his home. He does not have an internet connection at his church because he goes to his office every day. He does not want his people to think that he's sitting in that office messing around on that internet. If he checks his email, he goes to the library to check his email. Said, why? He doesn't trust himself. He wants to keep a good testimony before God, before his wife and children, and before his church and community. If you're messing around with something, be sure your sin will find you out. Okay? You mess around with pornography and you hide it and I find out about it, I'm putting you out of the church. You're dangerous. You get messing with that, you're going to start messing around with the girls or the boys in the church? No. This is a safe haven. We're not allowing that. Y'all got that? You said you can't do it, but you bet your booties I can do it. I'm the pastor. Somebody's running the church, right? And I'm going to run it. I'm going to try to keep it clean. I'm going to try to help you stay clean with this kind of preaching. Amen? I mean, if you're messing around with that stuff, I want you to think I am around the corner watching you doing it. Because I know this, the Holy Ghost is in you and watching you doing it, if you're doing it. And it's not just the young people, it's the old people too. That woman has access to every device that I have. Check the history and everything. Amen. There's none of us. We are what? We're just flesh. Indulgence in those animal appetites. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 19. Who being what? Past feeling. They don't think adultery's wrong anymore. They don't think murder's wrong anymore. They don't think rape's wrong anymore. They're past feeling. Have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Indulgence in animal appetites, lustful living, perverted living, sodomite living, wicked living. May I say number 4? What's happened to America? Nudity is a mark of paganism. Say amen. Yeah. I love springtime. I love the summer. I'm not much for winter. I'm an old man. My blood must be thinning out or something. But you know what? I also hate summer. I said, why? Americans take their clothes off. Buddy, they just take their clothes off. Hey, over there in Mark and over there in Luke, you have the maniac of Gadara. And he's running around a graveyard. Do you all remember how he's running around the graveyard? He didn't have no clothes on. That's called nakedness. Okay? He's full of demons. And he takes off his clothes. He's running around a graveyard. I don't know about y'all, But nighttime, graveyards, I'm just not messing around there. They're just a little spooky to me. And I'm certainly not going to take my clothes off and run around. And then he's cutting himself. Have y'all heard about this thing going around in America? These kids are cutting themselves. It's demonic. What's happened to America? We're naked. When the pilgrims arrived on the Mayflower, they were clothed. The natives, the Indians, they were naked. We brought them the gospel. Now you got saved people taking their clothes off. Why? Because of the influence of the devil and the world. That book is supposed to be our final authority. I just can't believe it. I don't mean to be disrespectful, okay? But some people, you just wish they'd cover it up. It's not even attractive, for God's sake. Can you say amen? In my generation growing up, my daddy would say this. That's indecent exposure. Did you know in the United States of America, it wasn't until the 1930s that they passed a law that said men could take a shirt off at the beach? The 1930s. It was against the law for a man to be bare-chested at the beach. And they had, I forget what they call it, the people who walked up and down the women, they measured the skirts they wore on their bathing suits. And if they weren't so close to the knees, they gave them a citation and paid them a fine, told them to go change. Oh, y'all, I'm losing you there, aren't I? You know, you get preaching on dressing. I want to ask you something. How do you want to dress in heaven? You're going to go around in your flip-flops and your tank tops and your shorts? Boy, y'all getting pretty tough. When you stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, you want to be there in your bathing suit?
No.
I wouldn't think so. But I want to be clothed.
Amen.
I want to be covered up.
Amen.
Are we okay?
Amen.
But I mean, in America, man, women are exposing their breasts. Their underwear so tight, their breeches are so tight, their underwear are sticking out. And then men go around. God in heaven, who wants to see your flabby, sick-looking body? Enough to gag a maggot off a meat wagon.
Amen.
Say amen. It's nakedness. It's heathenism. Hey, when those devils got driven out of that maniac of Gadara, and he got saved, when he was sitting there, the Bible said he was what? He was clothed. Now, look, you're going to have to forgive me. William, I was raised in a heathen's family, okay? So when school was out, we went down to the shore. Mom and Dad owned a house down in Avalon. And we spent the summer down there. The only thing I wore was bathing suit. I was naked. She said, why'd you do that? I was a heathen. And then I got saved. And I remember, and I didn't, and listen, you don't change overnight, people. There's a growing process. I had gone off to Bible school. I was working a job in construction. And I had on shorts. It was a hot day. I didn't have a shirt on. And I was painting. And as I'm painting, I'm painting the garage. I'm on a ladder. And these two guys come up. And they got shirts and ties on. They got Bibles under their arm. And they come up to me. And I'm on the ladder. They said, hey. They said, could we talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ? Could we take the Bible and show you about being saved? Said something like that. So I came down off that ladder. And I'm in my shorts and nothing on my top here, my chest and everything. And I said, I'm saved. I said, I've accepted Jesus. They said, you're saved? I said, yeah, I'm saved. And I remember driving home. I was working in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I was living in Newport, Pennsylvania. And I said, Lord, I don't think you're real crazy about me going around naked like that.
Amen.
I didn't hear a message on it. The sweet Holy Ghost of God in my heart dealt with me about it. And I just started putting clothes on. Are we okay here?
Amen.
Said, why? Because I'm not a heathen.
Amen.
I'm a child of God. Are we okay?
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say, what's happened to America? We've become a dark, heathen nation. And nakedness. Man, we got halter tops, low-cut dresses, slits, bathing. They're not even, you couldn't make a shotgun wadding out of some of these bathing suits these women are wearing. There's nothing left to the imagination anymore. You people shouldn't dress that way. You people that are saved. You people say you love the Lord, say the Bible is my final authority? No. Ladies, it's always about modesty. If you women don't know the minds of men. You think you do, but you don't. My man's mind is dirty. And if you knew what your dress and what your attire does when it's immodest, it causes a man to look at you, to lust after you, and he's committed adultery, and you set the stumbling block before him. And you will answer to God for that as a saved, blood-washed child of God. Naked. That's what America is. I'll tell you another thing that's happened to America. Is that the reason that she's become a dark heathen nation? Is the jungle and the tom-tom music. Dr. Ruckman said years ago, he said, back to the Bible or back to the jungle for America. And he's right. That tom-tom jungle music is a mark of paganism. Every one of us, we've been sitting at a light. Some yo-yo comes up in their car, your windows are up, and all of a sudden your car is going... and you think some natives have escaped from some foreign country and beaten the drum. Say amen right there. When Moses and Aaron were coming off, what did Moses and Joshua were coming off the mountain? Joshua said, what? There's the sounds of war! And Moses goes, that ain't war. That's their music. That's their singing. Listen to me. There's no such thing as Christian rock. That's an oxymoron. That's opposite. Christian and rock music does not go together. They can call it that. There's no Christian rap. Rap is from the pit of hell. When you mock the law, when you mock raping women, when you mock killing people, when you talk the trash that they talk, that is not music. It is filth from the pit of hell. You parents ought to be knowing what your kids are listening to, what they're reading, what they're watching. You're supposed to be their protectors for crying out loud. My son, give me thy heart. You parents ought to want to get the hearts of those children. Y'all with me? You know what? Are y'all listening to me? Are you listening? This thing about getting their heart. Pastor Matt wants to get those kids' hearts. Because those girls are going to grow up. And some loser's going to come by and he's going to try to steal her heart. But see, if she's giving her heart to Daddy, giving it to the Lord, but giving it to Daddy, Daddy goes, sweetheart, that boy is no good. I know you can't see it right now. I know you don't understand it because you're young. But you've given me my heart. Will you trust me on this one? And because she's given him his heart, what will she do? She'll trust him. She'll say, Daddy, I don't understand it. But I'm going to trust you. Are we okay with that? You better get your kids' hearts. And I'm talking about the boys, too. You know, some floozy will come along. You know, and she puts all the makeup on and she puts on all the immodest clothes and she'll try to seduce you. And your daddy will go, Daniel, that girl's not even saved, son. That girl doesn't want to live for God. And you go, oh, Daddy, I'm in love. No, you're in lust. You're in heat. Your chromosomes are overcoming your brain zones. Say amen right there. Hey, look up here, you kids, okay? I want you to understand something. I know you kids think you know everything, okay? But I want to tell you something. Your pastor knows you know nothing.
Amen.
You're wrong about everything.
Amen.
Am I offending you? God, I hope I am. Go out. He thinks I'm always wrong. You are always wrong.
Amen.
You think wrong. You imagine wrong. You do wrong.
Amen.
Are we okay?
Amen.
Yeah. This is good preaching, isn't it? Even if I'm doing it, this is good preaching, buddy. Tom music. What are you doing listening to that junk? I want to ask you something. Remember when Herod had that his stepdaughter doing that little dance? What kind of music do you think she was dancing to? A waltz? Christian hymns? Buddy, it was some kind of deep, dark boogie-woogie and all that kind of stuff. Say amen right there. And she's taking her clothes off. That's why that guy got so excited about that. Ungodly stuff. Well, what are you listening to? And I don't care if they say Christian. If it's got the wrong beat, buddy. Now, listen, I don't know nothing about music. If you want to talk about music, talk to Steph. Steph knows something about music. Talk to Dan. Dan knows something about music. I don't know nothing about music, but I know this. I know when it's of the devil, and I know when it's of God. So how do you know that? I've got the Holy Ghost inside. Amen. Buddy, when I get to myself, no, that's no good.
Right.
Spiritual music, it sings to the soul,
yes, sir.
Not to the flesh.
Amen.
That song they sang today. Lord, you took me out of Egypt. Now take Egypt out of me. I love that song. I asked them to learn that. He said, I used to be under Pharaoh, but now deliver me from me. See, that's what most of y'all's problem is. It isn't Pharaoh, the devil. It's you. You don't make right decisions. You don't believe that book like you should. You don't practice and live like you should. Deliver me from me. And then there's a lack of respect for womanhood, which is a mark of paganism. An equality of the sexes. You know what? I thank God. God made man, man, and woman, woman. I'm glad he made male, female. Okay? I want to tell you something. Ladies are supposed to be feminine.
Amen.
I would that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. I said this up in New York. I said, I believe my personal conviction is the Bible teaches the highest calling a woman can have is to marry who God wants her to marry, bear the children God wants her to bear, and guide the house, make a haven of rest for her husband and children, and serve the Lord in a high and mighty fashion. After I preached that, Brother Jones came up to me after service. He said, I sure appreciate the way that you preached that tonight. Because that's not being preached in our churches. That's what the Bible says. Womanhood. We lift womanhood and motherhood up. But paganism drags it down. I mean, you got women curse you out like sailors used to curse you out. Smoking, drinking, whoring around, out of the home, working in jobs. Hey, they whore around, then they want to murder babies. Say amen right there. Say, it's my right. It's your right. See, that's a heathen, dark generation. And then what they do is they deny. A heathen nation denies a personal God. Denies in a God that you can know personally. Look at John chapter 3, if you would, please. Gospel of John chapter 3, and I'm just about done. And I'm not just speaking evangelistically either. John chapter 3, verse 36. A pagan nation, they ignore God's book. They refuse His message. They even profess that He's dead. Remember when they had the Iron Curtain between the Germanies? And somebody wrote something on there, God is what? God is dead. I got news for you, God's not dead. He's never been more alive than He's alive today. He's in absolute control. John chapter 3, verse 36, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That pagan culture, it denies a personal God in need of a Savior. They ignore His book. They don't accept His gospel message. Profess that He doesn't even exist. So there we are. We're in the midst of America. What has happened to America? She's turned her back on God. The God who blessed her. America the beautiful and all like that. So where are we? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with me, and I'll be done. So where are we? Do you want to run down that course of the world and just run with the world? You want to allow the world to affect you personally, your family? People, that's not me. I want to be with that remnant. You know, you study that Bible. The Bible says to rightly divide the Word of God. In every dispensation in the Bible, there's always been a little remnant of people that were faithful to the Lord. Remember when the 12 spies went in and 10 of them came back and said, we can't take it. But Joshua and Caleb said, let's go. God will give it to us. There's just a remnant. Okay, the whole nation of Israel wandered around in the wilderness because of their unbelief. I don't want to wander in the wilderness because of unbelief. I don't want to live like a heathen nation. I want to live like the child of God, like Joshua crossing over Jordan into the land of victory, into the land flowing with milk and honey. Are y'all with me? Listen, Mrs. Claire celebrated her 50th birthday last week. She doesn't look a day over 40, does she? Absolutely not. And without any cosmetic surgery either. Amen. So Mrs. Keenan and I wanted to do something special. So we went out to eat with them on Friday. I've been knowing the Claire since the 90s. Naomi was a baby when I first met him. So, you know, that's a long time ago. I have had the privilege to be their pastor for 17 years, something like that. And I prayed with them and I told them what a privilege it is to be their pastor. I hope that Mrs. Keenan and I, through the ministry, have had a little bit of effect and influence in their personal lives, in their marriage, and in them raising their children. And you see their kids living for the Lord. So what you do, I got to cross over Jordan and I got in the promised land. And the Lord has guided and directed us. He's let us minister. He's let us serve. He's let us get involved in people's lives. He's let us make some missions trips and give some money. Are y'all with me? It's the land of victory. Sure, there's battles in the land of Jordan. There's enemies. But there's always the victory. That's what it is. It's a land of victory. That's what you and I can have. But we must make a conscious decision. I am not wandering in the wilderness of the world. I want to, by faith, go with God. So look at my verse, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. We'll start in verse 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hey, we need to be steadfast in what the Word of God says. We need to be unmovable from the will of God for our lives. And we need to stay busy, abounding in the work of the Lord for the glory of God. That's the only way we'll have victory in this dark pagan culture that America has become. Thank God for the independence of the Christian through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And thank God for the blessed life we can have in the land flowing with milk and honey. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Heads are bowed.